You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm speaking with Alice Sneddon, who is a hilarious comedian. I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
I've done a few of these now, and I kind of say that to everyone.
Oh, okay.
Well,
in that case, it means nothing.
I'm calling myself out because I don't want to devalue it, because I have actually seen, probably, like, of all the people I've talked to, I've seen you the most doing things.
Right, okay.
I love the things you do.
Oh, cool. Thank you. That's very kind.
And I also want to say I'm excited to have you on my show because I've had a problem where I've started doing a bit of comedy and people keep thinking that I'm you.
Oh, really?
Well, just like a couple of things. So like Scott from The Classic, he sent me a couple of emails that were for you.
Right, okay.
And I met someone at the basement just the other day and someone was like, oh, this is Alice. And she was like, oh, I was just recommending you as a comic. I was like, you don't mean me.
Oh, no. Maybe they do.
No, they definitely are talking about you.
Oh, well, that's nice to know that someone's recommending me.
Yeah.
I mean, devastating for you.
I'm going to pass on compliments that I receive about your work.
Oh, great.
I hope that's the whole hour. I just feel like it's good that we're both here and we can confirm that we're two different people.
Absolutely. Of course, this isn't a visual medium, so I could just be playing mind tricks.
You have this could be really good character work.
Yeah, could be. It would be the most extensive character work I've ever done.
I'm really starting to question whether I exist now. So thanks for that.
You're welcome. I like to kind of push people into an existential crisis if ever I can.
I'm going to be spiraling all next week.
That's the goal. I'll leave now.
you've brought in some clips.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I brought in some funny stuff. It's just four clips of me.
And one clip of me just to mix it up. Yeah.
I brought in some comedy clips. So this, should I just bang on in and introduce the first one?
Or? I reckon so. Let's do it.
Cool. Okay. So the first one is, I think my brother Sam actually showed me this. It's Eddie Izzard. He does, he's a comic and he does like a variety of things. He does drag and he does stand up and he does sketch and all sorts of stuff. He's incredible. He's incredibly talented. But my brother showed me this clip first off. It's called Cake or Death, and it's Eddie Izzard talking about the Spanish Inquisition and about how bad the British would have been at it because they're too polite. And if you look it up on YouTube, it's animated with Lego figurines, which adds a whole other element. But it's like part of a series of Lego animations with Eddie Izzard. So he also does Darth Vader at the Death Star canteen, which is so hilarious.
I feel like I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's so funny. Maybe I should have picked that one. But this one is called Cake or Death, and it kind of took on like a... it kind of just like invaded the conversation of my family, and just cake or death just became something we would say to each other a lot. So yeah, this is the first one.
I'm excited. Eddie Izzard, I feel like, icon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Church of England, you can't say you must have tea and cake with a vicar or you die. You can't have extreme points of view. You know, the Spanish Inquisition wouldn't have worked with Church of England. Talk, will you talk? But it hurts. Well, loosen it up a bit, will you? That's what it would be. Tea and cake or death. Tea and cake or death. Tea and cake or death. Students with beer. Tea and cake or death. Tea and cake or death. Little red cookbook. Little red cookbook. You know, because cake or death, that's a pretty easy question. Anyone can answer that. Cake or death? Cake, please. Very well. Give him cake. Oh, thanks very much. Very nice. You, cake or death? Cake for me too, please. Very well. Give him cake too. We're going to run out of cake at this rate. You, cake or death? Death, please. No, cake, sorry. You said death first. Death first. No, I meant cake. Oh, all right. You're lucky I'm Church of England. Cake or death? Cake, please. Well, we're out of cake. We only had three bits and we didn't expect such a rush. So what do you want? Well, so my choice is or death. Well, I'll have the chicken then, please. Taste of human, sir. Do you like a white wine? There we go. Thank you very much. Thank you for flying Church of England, cake or death.
Tried to fade it down a second too quick there. The Lego animation, though, it's so cool. Like, where do you think that idea came from?
Oh, my God, I have no idea. But it adds a whole other element to it. Like, you should definitely look it up on YouTube and check it out. See that one, Darth Vader at the canteen. Yeah, I don't know who takes the time to do that.
It's great, though.
It's incredible. It's amazing what people just, like, I don't know, they take it and they add extra content to it. It's great. I love it. Hey, that's the internet.
Remix Generation. Or
is
whatever.
That what it's called?
I don't know. What's the... I feel like that was a thing like 5 years ago everyone was talking about. But,
oh, really? I don't know. Fuck, I'm not up to times with anything.
Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, good.
But I could pretend. I could pretend. Excellent. Okay, let's have another.
Oh, yeah? You want to just dive in? Okay, yeah. Cool. So this other one is... So this is like a Nichols and May sketch. So Nichols and May were like a sketch duo in kind of like the 60s, 70s, maybe even the late 50s. And it's Mike Nichols and Elaine May. And Mike Nichols actually went on to be like quite a prolific director. Do you know the movie Closer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he directed that and a bunch of other stuff, like a serious director. But he got his start off doing kind of like improv comedy and sketch with Del Close, who kind of was like the father of long form improv. They started together in Chicago, kind of developing like the basics of it. And that's where he met Elaine May, who's an extremely funny comedian. And yeah, they formed like the sketch group, Nichols and May, and they would obviously do live performances, but their records were huge at the time as well, like listening records. And I didn't know about them until I was studying sketch, and they showed us this sketch in a class, and I just like loved it so much because I hadn't really known sketch like this before. Like, I think I'd just seen it as quite high concept and just high concept stuff requiring, you know, a lot of production and all of that. But this is just like two people having a conversation, and it's Mike Nichols playing the son and getting a call from his mother, who's Elaine May, and they improvised it, the original sketch. They improvised it based off of the opening line. He actually got a call from his mother, which was the opening line of the sketch.
And then, I love it.
Yeah, and they were both like, oh, I know exactly who that person is. And they improvised it, and it became this. And I love it. I send it to my mum, and I laugh every time I listen to it still.
What era is this?
So I think this is the 60s.
Okay.
Yeah. That feels almost like it's too long ago, but I think it's the 60s. I could be so wrong on that. Please correct me if you like.
No, I think we'll just lean into making calls.
Okay, good.
And not checking what we're saying.
Elaine May in her own right is like just like the funniest person. And she's made a couple films as well, a real shitter, called the name of it escapes me. But I think she also wrote The Birdcage, or you know, with Robin Williams and...
Yeah.
Is that called The Birdcage? You know what? Let's play the clip. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out during the clip.
Let's have a listen.
Hello.
Hello, Arthur. This is your mother. Do you remember me?
Mom, I was just going to call you. Is that a funny thing? You know that I had my hand
Arthur,
on the phone.
You were supposed to call me last Friday.
Mother, honey, I know. I just didn't have a second, and I could cut my
Arthur,
throat.
I sat by that phone all day Friday.
Honey, I was working.
And
I just
all day Friday night.
Darling, I was in the lab.
And all day Saturday.
Mom,
and all day Sunday.
Mom.
And your father finally said to me, Phyllis, eat something. You'll faint. I said, no, Harry, no. I don't want my mouth to be full when my son calls.
Mom.
And you never called.
Mother, I was sending up a rocket. I didn't have a second.
Well, it's always something, isn't it?
All right, honey, look. Please.
You know, Arthur, no, I'm sure that all the other scientists there have mothers. And I'm sure that they all find time after their breakfast or before their count off.
Down.
To pick up a phone and call their mother.
Honey, listen, now you have me on the phone.
And you know how I worry.
Well, that's the point.
I read in the paper that you're still losing them.
Mother. Mother, I don't lose them.
I nearly went out of my mind.
Honey, listen, I want
I thought, what if they're taking it out of his pay?
All right. That's it, Mom.
Wait,
just
so
please,
hard.
Honey,
I
tell
will
me
send
how
you
are.
A postage
Mother,
stamp.
Mother, tell me
so
how
hard.
You are. How are you?
I'm sick.
I'm sorry to hear it. What's wrong?
Nothing. Well, you know what it is, Arthur.
Yeah.
It's the same thing it's always been.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
It's
yeah.
my nerves.
Yeah.
And, I went to the doctor.
Of course, yeah.
And
yeah.
he told me.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
said, listen, Mrs. White, you are a very nervous, very high-strung woman.
Yeah, well, God knows that's true.
And you cannot stand the slightest aggravation.
Well, no. Well, of course.
So I said, doctor, I know that.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
You know, I do. I know that.
Yeah.
I said, but you see, doctor, I have this son. And he's very busy. And it's the truth. He is. He's busy. I said, you see, doctor, he's too busy to pick up a phone and call his mother.
Mom, honey,
Arthur,
I want you to tell me...
when no. I said that to him, that man turned pale.
Right. Mother...
He said, Mrs. White, I have been a doctor for 35 years.
Darling...
And I've never heard of a son too busy to call his mother.
I know, Mom,
that's
but...
just what he said to me, Arthur.
I know.
And that man is a doctor.
Mother... Please, would tell me, what did the doctor say they're going to do with you?
Well, I may be in the hospital for a while, so...
The hospital?
Yes.
But what are they going to do?
Well, they'll x-ray my nerves.
Mother, why don't you let me know? All you have to
darling,
do is drop me a card.
I don't want to aggravate you. Don't aggravate
you
yourself. Never mind about
myself.
Me, darling. Please, listen, about you. How is your hangnail?
Mother, listen to me, please, please, just don't worry.
Arthur, what does that mean? Honey, what does that mean, don't worry?
Well, nothing, actually. I don't know. I said the first thing that came into my head.
Listen to me, Arthur. I'm a mother.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And I...
Listen, what's the use of talking, you know? You're very young. Someday, honey, you'll get married.
Mom.
And you'll have children of your own.
Mom, please.
And honey, when you do, I only pray that they make you suffer the way you're making me. That's all I pray, Arthur. That's a mother's prayer.
Okay, Mom, thanks for calling.
You're very sarcastic.
Mother, I am doing my best here. Now, you call. I tried to explain to you that I was busy. You will not listen.
Hit me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I bothered you when you were so busy. Believe me, I won't be around to bother you much longer. And listen, I hope I didn't make you feel bad.
Are you kidding? I feel awful.
Oh, honey, if I could believe that, I'd be the happiest mother in the world.
Well, Mother, what do you think? I feel rotten.
Oh, then, Arthur, honey, why don't you call me? Honey, you know, I know that I nag you. You got a nagging mother. What are you going to do? I'm kidding. But, honey... you know, you're my baby. And listen, you're the only baby I've got. And I'll tell you something, when you get to be 100 years old, you're still going to be my baby, you know? And when you don't call me, honey, I can't help it. I worry. And is that so hard to just pick up a phone and call your mommy? Is it? Oh, please, baby. Please.
Yeah, well, I will, I promise.
Oh, honey, if you do, you make your mommy so happy. Oh,
if my mommy's happy, then I'm happy.
Oh, thank you, baby. And mommy wants to wish you lots of luck with your rocket.
Thank you, mommy.
And you remember that mommy loves you.
I love you too, mommy.
Goodbye, baby.
Goodbye, mommy. Nanny, nanny, nanny.
Oh, it was great.
So good.
I was just saying to you, Ophia, that I love the length of it. I just feel like they've let it.
They let it breathe a lot.
Yeah.
It's so nice and refreshing because, I don't know, sketch these days, it's so fast-paced and it's really cut together. Although I think with, like, the exception, like, I think Key and Peele do a good job of, like, breathing stuff out and allowing, like, kind of, like, premises to gestate almost before you get, like, the release from the tension of it.
Yeah.
And that one is, like, a perfect... I mean, that is just playing, like, game, like, so clearly. And that's why I love it so much. Game being, like, I don't know, like, the comedic premise, the comedic idea or whatever, just, like, hitting it back and forth so well. It's such a pleasure.
Getting technical on here. But it is, right? It's so satisfying to watch and just, like... Yeah, just I feel like a whole six and a half minute sketch.
It's a 6.5 minute sketch, and it's literally just them sitting there talking on the phone, which is why I loved it so much. One of the first sketches I ever tried to write was as a telemarketer call, and it was a clear ripoff of that premise. I'll still try and get it made, but it's so hard to convince. You just couldn't air something like that on TV anymore. Or on radio even. I'm not as familiar with like the radio medium, but I don't know if you're allowed that space or that time to, or even what the venue, you know, what the process would be for that. Like, I don't know. Are people still doing comedy on the radio?
I really don't know.
Like sketch and stuff?
I think definitely here at BFM, we have a bit more freedom to let things breathe and explore. And I think like it would come out in something like this, but also in terms of, oh my God, we're getting real technical here.
Yeah.
But in terms of like our news coverage as well, we'll do longer interviews.
Yeah.
But
that's
I do think in more commercial radio, yeah, it's all like sound bites.
It
like
is. It's
2 minutes here and 2 minutes there.
Yeah, you get like a minute and a half voice break. And then you're like playing a track and you're on to the next thing. I used to do segments for The Rock. Where I would call in and talk to John and Ben, and it was crazy just like how I inhabited that persona like so quickly of like The Rock. Hey, how you going? Yeah, fucking shit up today. Can you swear on this? I don't know.
Yeah,
you can
swear.
Oh, great! What a freedom! I feel alive.
Alive swear words. Yeah. Okay, awesome. Wait, let's talk about your show a little.
Okay, cool.
Alice Sneddon, self-titled.
That's right.
Running May 16th to May 20th at the Basement Studio.
Yeah.
Tickets $18 concession, $20 full, or $16 on Cheap Wednesday.
Oh, cool. Good. Come on Cheap Wednesday.
Just letting you know.
Yeah, great. Come on Cheap Wednesday, where I'll be thrilled to have all of you there. I don't know what I was saying there. I was going to say something about where I'm going to do a quarter of the performance to make up for the lost money.
Like three quarters, man.
Three quarters. No.
So yeah, that's almost a full performance.
It's almost a full performance. You won't see the ending of the show, but you'll get the gist of my comedic style.
And then you'll know if you want to invest in a full ticket.
Right, exactly. You can come the next night to see the dance finale, which I guarantee there will be. A full band, so really make sure you pay your money's worth.
But what can people expect? You want a little teaser? Little taster?
Comedy.
Excellent.
Yeah, some laughs. I don't know. I think it's such an interesting question you get asked, like, what's your style like? Or, like, what's your comedy like? I genuinely don't know what the right words are. I've been told I'm quite droll or a bit monotone. I don't know what they're talking about.
I think these are compliments.
Are they? Okay.
Despite just that word, droll.
Droll,
doesn't sound good.
Quite dry. Those are the sorts of words people have used to describe me. No, I think it's like it's going to be a collection of stories about a bit about my mother, who's kind of like a lovable eccentric and kind of growing up in a very like politically liberal household. And the show's about me being obsessed with like self-help and then kind of realizing that ultimately I just turn into my mother. That's kind of what it's about.
Oh man, we all do. We all do, I think.
I genuinely think so. Cause I just, as I was writing it, because it is just like, I've only been, this is my first stand-up show. So it is in large part just a collection of the bits I've been doing for the last 3 years. And there's no getting around that. But then as I was like kind of collecting the stuff I wanted to put in it, I was like, oh, there's this real thread through where I was like trying to make these big changes in my life and then just consistently failing. And then kind of realizing like nothing happens straight away. Everything happens incrementally when you like give up on it and don't notice.
Yeah.
And so, and then ultimately you turn into your mother or your father.
Do you have cool parents though?
Yeah.
Then great. You're sorted.
Yeah. I mean, my mum is sometimes just like the worst. I love her dearly, but and she's like the kindest person I know, but also like the most cutting and ruthless. But I think, you know, I enjoy it.
Amazing. But yeah, I would totally agree. I find with like I'll set like goals. And yeah. Then I'll like not think about it for 6 months and just always be having crises about where I'm going. And then I'll like look back and be like, actually, did get there.
Yeah, totally.
Which is cool. Anyway, yeah. Sorry.
No, not at all. No, you're right. I hope that that's enticed people who relate to that concept to come along. There'll be jokes and stuff too.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be good. It's called self-titled, so it definitely will promise on what, you know, definitely deliver on what it promises.
Like, you'll be
a
there.
A show about me.
You'll show up. Okay, let's listen to another clip.
Yeah, cool. So this is the opening of Tig Notaro. So Tig Notaro is a comic from America, and she was doing really well, and she was pretty successful. And then she did this gig, and it kind of, like, blew up for her. And that's because a couple of days before the gig, she was diagnosed with cancer. And kind of like in the preceding months to it, she'd broken up with her girlfriend and gotten really sick with like a thing called C. diff, where she was in hospital and kind of almost about to die. And then her mother tripped and fell and died. And this all happened,
oh my gosh.
I know, in like 3 months leading up to this gig. Then she got diagnosed with cancer. Anyway, so it's like a 30-minute set. And it's just like so brilliant, the whole thing. Like, I listened to it and I was like laughing and crying. And I remember I like called my mum and was like, oh my God, I've just listened to this most amazing thing. And my mum was like, are you on your period? And I was, but like, I don't want to undercut just how moving it was at the time. It's so incredible. Anyway, I just love the top of it, where she kind of like, comes out and just dives into the premise, like, I mean, not the premise, just like dives into the content, because when you make a decision to talk about something like that serious and sensitive on stage, it must be so terrifying. And the way she does it is just to come out on stage and say it. So yeah,
just amazing.
Tig Notaro, live.
Let's do it.
I am now very thrilled, and it is my great privilege to bring to the stage someone who is extremely nice, extremely funny, extremely warm-hearted and wonderful, and also was on The Office once, and is a very, very dear friend who I love and cherish, and you do too, of course. I'm talking about Tig Notaro. Yeah.
Hello. Good evening. Hello. I have cancer. How are you? Hi. How are you? Is everybody having a good time? I have cancer. How are you? It's a good time. Diagnosed with cancer. Feels good. Just diagnosed with cancer. God. Oh my God. It's weird because with humor, the equation is tragedy plus time equals comedy. I am just at tragedy right now. That's just where I am in the equation. Oh, it's fine. Here's what happened. It's very personal. Found a lump. Guys, relax. Everything's fine. I have cancer. Found a lump. Got a mammogram. You know, they're doing the ultrasound. They're like, oh, we found a lump. I was like, oh, no, that's my boob. They were like, no, we found a lump on the other side, too. I was like, yeah, I got one over there, too. Those are my boobs. I ended up getting biopsies, which is painful. Feels like being stabbed. I felt like I'd been rear-ended all day and then just dropped off back at my house. I couldn't move or anything. And it was so like, intrusive and horrible. And I was just like, God, after all of these like ice pick stabbing feelings, I better have cancer. Somebody over here just keeps going, oh. Oh, I think she might really have cancer. Who's taking this really bad? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's gonna be okay. It might not be okay, but I'm just saying. It's okay. You're gonna be okay. I don't know what's going on with me.
Wonderful. I wasn't actually listening to it because we were having a yarn, but I'm just going to, again, disclaim that it was good.
I don't know if that... It is very good. You've got to listen to the whole album, but like I picked it because when I was like, what are the big things that I love listening to? These are them. Listening and watching.
I definitely, yeah, like the story of it is so compelling, and I was just,
oh yeah,
she must have written it in such a short time frame. Like,
yeah, I think she did. Like, she came up with that opening in the shower, and then the material around it, from listening to interviews with her around that time, she said like she really didn't want to do the gig when she got diagnosed with cancer. She was like, oh, I just don't think I'm up to it. And then I think that was at the Largo in LA, the owner of that club was like, if you feel like, we'll keep the spot open for you, and if you want to come in and talk about it, do. And she was just, so she did in the end. And she was, you know, lucky, well, we were lucky really, that Louis C.K. was there that night. He saw it, and they happened to be recording the set, and so he called her and was like, can I distribute it?
Yeah, because it's just... I mean, yeah, I guess it would be hard to go up there and talk about anything else, right? Because your mind would be so consumed.
100%. And she deals with that in the, like, half an hour set where she's like, oh, I should have... Because she's known for doing, like, quite silly jokes. She was like, do you want to hear a silly joke? And she does one about a bee on a highway. And and the juxtaposition of that against, like, the gravity of what's going on in her life is like quite insane. And now it's a beautiful story because, you know, after that she met her now wife and they have a couple of kids and her career's doing great and all of that jazz. So yeah, it's really nice.
Lovely.
It all worked out.
Okay, we have one more.
Yes. Okay, great. I'm just panicking about the point that I've picked now in this clip.
We could do another point.
I reckon let's just go with the start and we'll just listen to it. I'll introduce it. This is Amy Sedaris, who's David Sedaris's sister, a comedian in her own right. But I feel like people in New Zealand know David Sedaris more. He's like the essayist. And
yeah. He's got a few books.
Yeah, he does. He has heaps of books, and they're extremely funny, and you should read them or listen to them on audiobook like I did when I was working a job I hated. So she's an incredibly funny comedian. She did a TV show called Strangers with Candy, Oh, she played just like the worst character ever. It was great. And she's like a character comedian, so she doesn't do stand-up or anything. So these are kind of like the only source of her work outside of her being on television shows that you can see, where it's just like her own comedic mind. She also has books. One of them is like Crafts for Poor People and how to, like, hospitality under the influence. Like, anyway, they're satirical books.
They sound great.
They're so great. She does a lot of segments on Martha Stewart, weirdly. Anyway, she did 34 appearances on Letterman over the years. And she was like, she lives in New York, so she was just their ringer in for if other guests kind of dropped out. And then sometimes she was there to legitimately promote stuff. But she has this whole like weird, wonderful world. She's got an imaginary boyfriend. she's genuinely loves bunny rabbits and she has them. She talks about that a lot. And I love it because I'm a big fan of Letterman. Like, I know he's a controversial figure, but I love Letterman and I love watching him laugh in these clips. She's one of the only guests I feel like that consistently made him laugh the most. So let's just play it from the beginning. I think it's all funny stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, but great. You should go and look them all up.
Oh my God, boy, do you look great and you smell wonderful.
Oh, was that too much perfume?
No, it's very nice.
Really, I sprayed a bunch in the air and I walked into it and I was like, and I did too much, so I'm really
self-conscious. It's very nice and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you know, I do what I can.
How have you been? What have you been up to?
I'm good. You know, it's not so easy getting pregnant. I'm trying to have a baby.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
I'm just kidding.
No.
You know, people ask you, what are you up to? And say, I'm trying to have a baby. Uh-huh. And it's just like, oh God, don't tell me that. So that's what I'm telling people.
But now, wait a minute, I'm confused. Are you just kidding or are you trying to have
I would never try to have a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, try. Yeah.
You might, but you might one day have a, sure, why not?
I don't know, I'm too old.
But now let's talk about your,
I mean, we'll talk about it later. Hey, I heard something funny today.
What's that?
You know when women walk around and they show off their stomachs and they have like maybe a little roll of fat hanging over the belt? You know what you call that?
No.
Muffin tops.
Really?
Is that good?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's good. Muffin tops.
Now, I don't want to... I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to go back to this thing because I know you had a relationship, a very close, meaningful relationship, powerful relationship.
Powerful.
With you had an imaginary boyfriend?
Yes, Ricky.
Ricky, you're right.
And then, you know, he was murdered.
Ricky was...
He was brutally stabbed 18 times, and I can't talk about it.
Wow.
But, I live with the ghost of Ricky now, ghost of my imaginary boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's... I mean, I don't hear chains or see eyes moving in pictures or anything, but... You know, I just live with a ghost of Ricky.
I know. Forgive me for laughing.
So that makes it double hard to get pregnant.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Spirits. Uh-huh. Spirits. Ricky?
Yeah.
Oh. But he did all the bills and everything, so I can't find anything. And it's hard, you know, just trying every day. You know.
How long ago did he pass?
It's been 2.5 years now.
2.5 years, wow.
Yeah, 2.5 years now.
But I know that you have a pet, you have a rabbit.
Yes, Dusty. Yeah,
Dusty.
She had gas last night.
I'm sorry?
Gas.
The rabbit had gas.
She had gas, which could be very painful for bunnies, and they could even die from it.
I didn't know that. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. And you have to give them a syringe of, like, baby a laxative kind of thing. And I had to, you know, track her down. You know, to catch her for 20 minutes, and then I had to get the syringe in her mouth. It was very hard.
Wow.
I was, like, stressed out.
But now, how do you know, how does that manifest itself, that the rabbit has is discomfort gas?
Is they try to press their stomach against the floor, try to move the bubble. Or then she'll just, you know, like, she'll just, you know, not pay any attention to me. You know, she won't eat anything.
Kind
and so I know, I'm really in tune to her.
Yeah.
Sometimes I give her gas. She doesn't know she has it. I'm like, you've got gas, you know, crazy lady. Yeah.
Now, do you have somebody you can talk to? Do you talk to the vet, or how do you know these things?
The House Rabbit Society. They'll talk. I call them, like, I call this lady Mary Cotter. I do. It'll be 3 a.m. But she's the only one I can talk to for 2 hours about rabbits, and she won't be mad or anything. So, and she told me that actually rabbits are a lot like horses. And I said, why? She goes, that's a long story. You have to call me some other time.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I just love watching her face. She's amazing.
Oh, she's incredible. And kind of what I like about her is that, in a weird way, she's never, like, she's huge. She's hugely successful. But I feel like she only does things she wants to do. Like, I've never seen her in something and been like, that was a money grab. You know, like, oh, I don't know. I love it so much. She's so talented. She's just a genuine eccentric. Even her Instagram brings me heaps of joy.
I have to check it out.
Yeah, it's never pictures of her. It's just pictures of weird animals. Or funny photos. Yeah, she's great. She has an incredible aesthetic eye and a great comic timing.
Well, that's the end of the time we have together. Ooh, but thank you for coming in, Alice Sneddon.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to say your last name so people don't actually accidentally go and see another Alice.
Yes, great.
Why are there everyone's called
There's
Alice?
There's so many Alices. Me, myself, and Alice Brine, mm-hmm. who's the other one, are on at the same time at the basement.
Oh, no.
I know. It's such a nightmare, but definitely go to my show.
I do like have a dream one day that we could make like an all Alice improv group.
Yeah, cool.
With me, with you, Alice Canton.
Yeah.
Very talented. Sure. I don't know Alice Brine, but
Alice Harborne.
There we go.
Writer for Metro. I don't know if she's into performance, but
it's probably good to have a mix of Alices, like maybe some of them that haven't done improv before would be all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
One day.
A girl can dream.
Hey, but it's been a pleasure, and thank you for coming on. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, everyone, go see Alice's show.
Yeah, I can't wait to see every single one of you there.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.